Secrets of Magpie Cove by Kennedy Kerr and read by Katie Villa for Saga Egmont. We have learned that when people ask how any of us are doing, and when they really listen to the answer with an open heart and mind, the load of grief often becomes lighter for all of us. In being invited to share our pain, together we take the first steps toward healing. From The Losses We Share by Meghan Markle, New York Times, 25th of November, 2020. Prologue. Somewhere, at the very top of the house, a baby was crying. Lila stood in the shadowed, high-ceilinged hallway. On the walls, the light was just good enough to make out a row of portraits in grand golden frames. She squinted to study the details. The first was an old-fashioned Italian-style painting of Madonna and Child. The Virgin Mother stared at her with an inscrutable expression while breastfeeding her baby. For some reason, the painting gave Lila a sense of deep unease. She kept walking, hearing the baby in the distance. Lila didn't recognize the house, and yet it felt somehow familiar. Why wasn't someone comforting the baby? She started to hurry along the hallway, trying to work out where the noise was coming from. The hallway seemed to lengthen and telescope away. She walked briskly past the paintings. Next was a family posed in a traditional grouping, with two King Charles spaniels sitting docile at their feet. The mother's voluminous skirts and pulled-in bodice suggested the 1700s. Then, a more modern painting of a young child reading a book. Next again, a black-and-white photo of a baby sleeping. Each one made Lila feel worse, a combination of sadness and panic. She had a feeling that something terrible would happen if she didn't get to the baby in time. And yet, something in her wanted to stop and gaze at the pictures too. There was a longing in her that rose up like a wave. To hold a child against her body, to stroke its soft cheek, to feel its warm heaviness in her arms. As is so often the way in dreams, Lila's brain, or her soul, or whatever it is that takes us away to strange worlds every night, did not know she was dreaming. At the same time, though she knew she had never been to this house before, it felt familiar. As if this was her house, and she had merely forgotten it. It was with this feeling of strange familiarity that Lila followed more and more family and baby portraits along the hall. Finally, she reached the bottom of a long, grand set of stairs with varnished dark wood banisters and elaborately carved balusters. The carpet was a deep blood red. Lila's unease intensified as she placed her foot onto the bottom stair. Nevertheless, she started to climb. The staircase seemed to reach up and up, out of sight, but she kept climbing. Now the staircase turned around on itself. When she reached the small landing, the cries grew louder. And yet, when she started to climb again, the cries grew more distant. Lila started opening the doors she passed, but none of them led her to the baby. The cries grew quieter. She turned around and went back down the stairs to where the cries had been loudest, but now there was nothing but silence. She felt filled with panic that she was too late. She reached for the handle of the door closest to her and opened it. In the dream, she started to sob. Beyond the door lay jagged grey-black cliffs that plunged into a turbulent grey-blue sea. She woke. The sheets damp with her sweat and clenched between her hands, and tears running down her cheeks. Chapter 1. Lila Bridges waited anxiously outside the cafe. It had been closed for a month now, after Serafina Lucido, its garrulous, flamboyant owner, had died. There had been no warning. Lila couldn't say if Serafina had been suffering from a heart problem.